Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A few years back, a baker in Colorado was hauled before the Colorado Civil Rights Commission like a common criminal. He's the heroic Jack Phillips from Masterpiece Cake Shop. We've been buying his cakes for years now, since this persecution began, and we will continue as long as he is able to continue to bake them. Now, his defenders, and by extension, they're also our defenders, right, who are representing Jack before the U.S. Supreme Court now. As has happened 1,000 times before, they are shooting us in the back. The lawyers, the talking heads, the people who are defending Jack Phillips, the argument they're using to defend him is already conceding the war to the homosexuals, to the aggressive homosexual agenda. They're conceding the war by the argument, by the defense that they are offering. I'd like to explain this. We Christians, we need to be experts in right and wrong. Because every day we are faced with many decisions and many opportunities to share with others our opinion on matters of life and death and matters of eternal consequence. And if we are not experts in right and wrong, and the way that you become an expert in matters of right and wrong are by studying God's word. That's how that happens. Up until then, you might be a novice. You might be okay at it. But you become an expert as you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ better. And you get to know him better and better through the study of his word. So, Jack Phillips now faces bankruptcy. But he hasn't caved in. And the Supreme Court has agreed to take up his case. So his defenders, from his attorneys to local talk show hosts like Dan Kaplis or Peter Boyles, to the Fox News Channel host and pundits, all those who have spoken up for him on his behalf, it's almost as though they were all given the same exact cue card. And they have all offered this terribly short-sighted and guaranteed to backfire defense, which only furthers the homosexual agenda. They have tied his refusal to affirm homosexuality not to a defense of that refusal, no, not at all, but to speech. They have argued that because designing a wedding cake is speech, therefore, on the basis of our free speech rights, therefore he cannot be compelled to make a wedding cake for homosexuals. And I realize that Jack himself, though he has great courage and principle, that he himself has fallen into the same trap. After all, Jack Phillips had not put himself forth as a Christian leader. He was not a legal advocate. He wasn't the leader of a ministry. He wasn't being called on to speak to the media on behalf of the church or the Christian worldview. He was a baker and an awfully good baker and still is, and an artist. So he's just grabbed out of the populace and turned into a point of contention. So the fact that Jack himself has not sufficiently thought this through and has fallen into this trap, I don't think that God will hold him as accountable as all the defenders who have spoken up. They argue that designing a cake is speech, but otherwise he would have to serve homosexuals, however they might ask to be served, but just not in the manner of violating his free speech rights, as though that's all this is about. That defense is a catastrophe. I'll give you one example from a friend of mine who is a painter. He paints the interior of homes. Now, that's considered labor, right? Is that considered free speech, or is it considered labor? It's skilled labor, yes, but it's labor, not speech. He, my friend, the painter, has the rights of a human being. Not only Jack, not only cake designers, but painters too. Just because he's not considered an artist doesn't mean that he should be forced to affirm homosexuality, homosexuals, homosexual lifestyle, homosexuals shacking up with one another, homosexuals adopting kids, homosexual dental care. He tells me that he's on a typical job site for a week or so or more. One home interior that he painted, he was there for 5 weeks. It was a mansion. It had intricate needs. So more than a month of work in one home. And he said, "Bob, I love homosexuals enough to warn them against their godlessness. I love them enough to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. But I am no more willing to affirm their lifestyle than I am to affirm the lifestyles of others who I know are grotesquely immoral, whether it's prostitutes, jihadists, child pornographers, and so on. If a strip joint wanted me to paint inside their place, I wouldn't do it. If prostitutes are living together in some apartment downtown Denver and they want me in their place for a week or two, I won't do it. If someone finds out that, let's say, the daycare that they've hired to watch their children is run by homosexuals. And so you have whoever, it might be a Muslim, but you have a Christian who realizes this and does not want his child in the arms of a homosexual. He shouldn't fear legal repercussions. He shouldn't fear that the church itself will now despise him because he says there's something very wrong with this. If he refuses to hire a homosexual, watch out. They're coming after him. If he refuses to be hired by a homosexual, watch out, because they're coming after him. So here in Colorado, back in the 90s, when Bob and Yurt Live first, we were on the air our first decade, we went on the air in April, was it, of 1991. And later that decade, the state of Colorado passed Amendment 2, which protected Christians and others from persecution for not hiring or being hired by or renting to homosexuals. You have a room for rent and you don't want two guys walking up. You got kids in your home, upstairs apartments for rent. You don't want two guys holding hands, sitting at the picnic table in the backyard, smooching on a Saturday morning with your kids there. You don't want that because you know that it's immoral, it's wrong, it's perverse, and you want to do your best to protect your kids, to protect yourself. And so Colorado's Amendment 2 that affirmed that you have the right not to submit to the homosexual agenda, not to further, not to affirm, not to actively tolerate homosexuality, that was passed by a majority of the voters in Colorado. That's not all that many years ago. But James Dobson let us down, Focus on the Family let us down, the USCCB let us down, the United States Council of Catholic Bishops, Eagle Forum let us down, CWA, Concerned Women for America, let us down. I mean, name the major Christian, quasi-Christian, so-called conservative church group, they all let us down. And they all legitimized homosexuality. They all did it. And so now we have gone in record speed from something that was against the law to now it being against the law not to affirm it. Isn't that something? It would be as though, and let me give you a completely different example, and I'm not saying that homosexuals are rapists. Let me just give you a different example. It would be as though rape were against the law, and within a few short years, it was against the law not to support rapists. How would that be? That's the insanity of what's happened in our world. On our page, on our list of Christian leaders going gay, our superfluous list, we call it a superfluous list because it's everywhere and everyone. Of Christian leaders, we put that in quotes, and conservatives, we put that in quotes, going gay. I've mentioned that we've added, just in the last week, we added a fellow from Hillsdale College, Martin Gilbert, and we added the Monsignor of the largest Roman Catholic parish in the U.S., down in Charlotte, 10,000 families, who said that the church must be more welcoming to homosexuals so they won't feel excluded. And by the way, he said that this month, July 2017, after the Vatican itself has been hit with multiple molestation and homosexuality scandals in just the previous few months. It's too much, no? So, 3 years ago, I preached a sermon at Denver Bible Church titled, The Year the Church Goes Gay. And we have sadly memorialized that sermon in our list, our superfluous list of Christians and conservatives going gay. We document in a program we've aired and a webpage that we maintain here at kgov.com. We document in Focus on the History, not Focus on the Family. This is called Focus on the History of Homosexual Rights. We document that James Dobson has promoted homosexual rights for decades. No, you didn't just mishear that. No, I didn't just misspeak. James Dobson and Focus on the Family, they have promoted homosexual rights for decades. One minor example, and this is minor, I don't even know that we cover this on that page, Focus on the History of Homosexual Rights, here at KGOV, KGOV.com. But a minor example that's telling is that Focus on the Family stated before we went ballistic and raised national awareness against what they had done, but they said it was quoted on the first page of the Denver Post, not misquoted, it was quoted accurately, that they would not object to a homosexual Supreme Court justice. They're supposed to be protecting traditional families, right? Protecting children, protecting adopted children, a whole list of things that are supposedly their priorities, and they're against homosexual marriage. At least they used to be. How do you think a homosexual Supreme Court justice would rule on homosexual marriage? How do you think? So, just the same way that World Vision backed off when they aggressively promoted the homosexual agenda, World Vision, that major worldwide allegedly Christian ministry promoting homosexuality among its own employees, and they backed off because of how their donors were so enraged and their revenue plummeted within weeks, and so they reversed their own policy, but only because they were caught. That's the only reason. And so Focus on the Family also, they then retracted that statement. But how do you make that statement in the first place? It would be like people trying to rescue Jews from concentration camps saying, well, we wouldn't object to the Commandant of Auschwitz being the president of the country. We wouldn't object to that. I mean, how do you, or like a civil rights person saying, we wouldn't object to a racist becoming a Supreme Court justice. Would that make any sense? Or an abolitionist trying to end slavery saying, we wouldn't object to a slave trader being nominated for the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, would that make any sense? It wouldn't make any sense. It's only the Christian leaders who overtly undermine their own cause. In the Bible, God says, look around to all the pagans who worship their idols. See if you could find any of them who betray their idols. God said you can't. It's only my people, those who know the identity of the living God, the true God, it's only my people who deny their God. The wicked people, they tend to be rather faithful to their wickedness. And that's why Disney, they don't care if they could make another $50 million by removing some perversion from a film for kids. They don't care. The $50 million is nothing to them compared to their ultimate treasure, which is your child's soul, your grandchild's eternal soul. That's what they value. So compare that to our Christian leaders and our conservative leaders. When I say that James Dobson has promoted homosexual rights for decades, I mean, he's come out openly and advocated repeatedly. Equal rights for homosexuals, equal rights for homosexuals, equal rights for homosexuals. James Dobson declared, James Dobson legitimized homosexuality. He declared it legally valid. That's what legitimized means. From Moses through Jesus to Paul to our founding fathers, homosexuality was criminal in a Judeo-Christian context. Homosexuality, like adultery, was criminal. And in the public square, Christianity and homosexuality are mutually exclusive. Only one will be tolerated. So the only Christian in this post-focus on the family culture we live in, the only Christian who is acceptable is the Christian who affirms sexual perversion. That's the only good Christian. So here's the defense they gave of themselves as they did this over the last couple decades. I'm talking about the Christian leaders who perhaps they could not stop the nation from normalizing homosexuality. Perhaps they couldn't accomplish that, even if they did what was right. But they sure had the ability to protect their own church from embracing that perversion. They had that ability. But instead of strengthening the church, they legitimized this moral corruption by claiming that they could only publicly advocate for as much as the culture might agree to. Oh, we can't advocate for that because the U.S. Supreme Court won't accept that. Oh, we can't talk about that. That would never fly in the Congress. Oh, don't you know that the Colorado legislature is controlled by the Democrats? We can't advocate for that. And so you wonder, well, what would they have advocated for in Germany, in Nazi Germany? Because they're not going to get much past the Third Reich of their own agenda. So what? You compromise, you sink to the level of what the culture or the secular godless government will affirm? And that's what you do as a Christian leader? So as a result of their failed strategy of only advocating for as much as they think the culture might agree to, as a result of that, and by the way, we expose all this, we documented in our documentary trilogy, Focus on the Strategy. Focus on the Strategy 1, 2, and 3. So because of that assumption they made that they could only advocate for as much as the culture might agree to, therefore they sought only to regulate perversion. In their moral relativism, they seek only to regulate inherently criminal acts, and thus they only attempt to regulate abortion. James Dobson only attempted to regulate pornography, and his staff at the highest levels, the vice president of public policy, his judicial analyst, we met with them, the elders of Denver Bible Church. We had a meeting down at their headquarters in Colorado Springs, and I said, "Oh no, we just want to regulate pornography. We would never try to ban pornography." So they regulate abortion. They oppose abolition efforts. They regulate pornography. You know, how far from a school could you sell pornography? That's the Christian approach. So now pornography fills every school because it's in every kid's pocket on his phone. So they regulate it. They regulate homosexuality. They regulate no-fault divorce. They regulate socialism. They regulate adultery. And they have completely lost sight of right and wrong. So what? They would regulate the slave trade? That's what they would do? They would regulate the killing of Jews? That's what they would do? They regulate the killing of babies. They regulate perversion, pornography. Why not? They've lost their way. So here's a prediction. Watch for Christian leaders to advocate the regulation of prostitution. I mean, why not, right? They've been doing this for decades now without the Christian community holding them to account. It's only been a handful of fringe voices in the body of Christ that have tried to hold them to account, to call them to repent, to admonish them. But it's the good old boys network, right? The leaders of all the various mega ministries, whatever they do that's immoral, whatever new moral relativist approach they adopt, they're never held accountable by the other Christian leaders. They all give one another a pass, and it's a catastrophe. So you've got Southern Baptists who are going gay. The megachurch pastor, Andy Stanley, who's read and listened to by probably thousands of pastors month in and month out in this country, are welcoming homosexuals into the church. I mentioned that priest of the largest Roman Catholic parish in the U.S. saying that the church must be more welcoming to homosexuals so they won't feel excluded. I mean, this is the wholesale sellout of the morality of the scriptures, of the morality of Jesus Christ, who said that he made us male and female, and he instituted marriage between a man and a woman, and that sex outside of marriage is fornication, it's adultery, depending on the particulars, it's perversion, so that the Bible condemns sex with animals, sex within the same gender, sex with close relatives, sex with someone you're not married to. These are all sins that destroy the culture. But what do we have in America? And this is all thanks to our Christian leaders, because we can't hold them responsible for what unbelievers do, but we can hold them responsible for the message they sent to the church itself. So we have been documenting here on Bob Inert Live the increasing open acceptance of immorality by Christians. As we interact with Christians around the country, we have been grieved by the acceptance of sexual immorality. You have a couple at a church who they're dating, and they say, "Well, please pray for us. We're going on a cruise next week." And people, "Oh, yeah, we hope you have fun. Hope you have fun." They're not married. And then in the rare cases that anyone cares at all, when they at least give you the courtesy of lying to you, and they say, "Well, we don't do anything. We're not being intimate. We just share the same cabin," or maybe they got a lot of money, "we just share the same stateroom, but we're not doing anything." We've had people say that with a straight face. We say, boy, you're really, I mean, you're unbelievably stupid, aren't you? To think that anyone believes you? You realize that no one believes you? Not even your mother believes you. So we have Christians arguing that entertainment with nudity is not sinful. Like movies with nudity in them. It's not sinful because, you know, it's only R-rated or PG-13. And it's not sinful because, well, everybody watches it. Or Christians who claim that you don't need to be legally married. Only married before God. And isn't that easy? People just go ahead and shack up, and when pressed, they say they're married. And then when they don't like each other anymore, they just separate. They don't get a divorce. They just separate. And Jesus said to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, she said, oh, I'm going to go tell my husband. And he said, you don't have a husband. You've been married 5 times, and the guy you're shacking up with right now, you're not even married to. He's not your husband. Or even the claim that polygamy is not sinful. We've debated that. Or the claim that public nudity is not sinful. We've debated that. Or the claim that it would be right to regulate prostitution, legitimize it, decriminalize it, as the South Carolina megachurch assistant pastor said. Or that consuming some pornography is not sinful as long as it doesn't take over your life. Or that homosexuality is not sinful. Or that fornication is not sinful. And it goes on and on. So I'll get back to Jack Phillips in a second, but we've mentioned the third highest position in the Catholic Church, Cardinal George Pell, who has now gone back to Australia to face charges that he himself sexually abused minors. So when it comes to, this is happening everywhere, all around the so-called conservative or so-called Christian community. When it comes to Jack Phillips, it's not that it's speech. It's that homosexuality is wrong. Hey, have you seen Real Science Radio's video, Evidence Against the Big Bang? It's available on DVD, Blu-ray, or download. Our goal is for millions more to be able to answer correctly and with confidence the number one most important question, where do we come from? Evidence Against the Big Bang is available at our website, rsr.org. Just click on the store or by calling us at 1-800-8-NYART or 1-800-836-9278.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.